I'm Alice Rhee in for Brian Lehrer. Although abortions and abortion rates are going down nationwide and in New York State, a recent article by Crane's Business Journal drew attention to the fact that the state's abortion ratio is three times more than the national average. I'm joined by Dr. Robert Fullilove, research and STD prevention expert at Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. As well, I'm joined by Dr. Rachel Jones, a senior research associate at Guttmacher Institute, a nonprofit women's reproductive rights research organization, that's a mouthful, to talk about the state's high abortion rate. Doctors, good morning and welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Dr. Jones, as I read it, so New York's abortion rate is roughly double the national average, while the abortion ratio is about three times the national number. So could you put those statistics in some context and actually just explain them?
Sure. So it has historically been the case that these figures, the abortion rate and the abortion ratio, is higher for New York State than for the rest of the country. Probably a number of factors contribute to this, including a concentration of people in metropolitan areas. But I think one of the main contributing factors is the fact that Medicaid pays for abortion services in New York State. There's not many states that actually do that. Only 15 states allow women who have Medicaid coverage to use that coverage to pay for abortion services. And then nationally, most women who obtain abortions are poor, low income. So you can see how if your Medicaid will actually pay for the abortion service, that it increases access to this service. And so in New York State, you're going to have low-income women who have an easier time terminating unwanted pregnancies relative to other states. And in turn, you're going to have a higher abortion ratio, that is a higher number of pregnancies that end in abortion than in births relative to the rest of the country.
I just want to go over that ratio with you. So for nationwide, 24, the numbers that we have anyways, 24 abortions per 100 live births. Versus 72 abortions in New York State per 100 live births.
Right.
So that is three times. I mean, is that alarming to you? Or is that consistent with what's been happening
in
New York?
It's not alarming to me because, again, we know that historically this is the pattern that we see, not just in New York, but, you know, typically in states, again, where Medicaid pays for abortion services, women have an easier time accessing abortion. These states have higher abortion rates, and in turn, you have a higher ratio of abortions to births.
Sure. Dr. Fullilove, what is your reaction to these stats?
Well, as I pointed out in the article, those of us who are concerned with sexual health, not just reproductive health, always worry that when you have a change in statistics, such as the proportion of abortions that are performed, you may also be looking at another trend that is a little bit more difficult to follow, which is that there are increases in rates of unprotected sex. Any unprotected sexual act can result not just in a pregnancy, but also exposure to a sexually transmitted disease. And because New York State, and New York City in particular, serves as one of the epicenters of the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the United States, one always worries that when you get a number like this, you may also be looking at subsequent rises in rates of other preventable sexually transmissible conditions as well.
Well, what is the correlation? Is it anecdotal, or are there hard numbers that show that there's a correlation between protection and unintended pregnancies?
There are no hard numbers because, unfortunately, these are basically a set of figures that represent a very complex set of decisions on the part of women. Not everybody is young, not everybody is unmarried, not everybody is engaged in family planning at a level that would indicate that they're thinking through the decisions they're making sexually. But overall, what we know is if you've decided to terminate a pregnancy, it probably was not planned. If it wasn't planned, it may have been the result of a sexual act that obviously had to occur without the presence of a condom. And because it occurred without the presence of a condom, then there may be other factors present as well, such as exposure to gonorrhea, syphilis, a whole host of things that are increasingly a part of the picture of health here in the United States. That is to say that we sort of lead the West with respect to the proportion of our sexually active individuals in the United States who are, in the world rather, who are in some way or other exposed to a sexually transmitted disease.
Is the country, is New York State, are we getting any better at STD prevention?
Are we getting any better? No, I think you recall from the article that there is a statistic that indicates that the use of condoms on the part of men is not at a level that we would like. Obviously, we'd like to have every sexual act that isn't expected to result in a pregnancy be a protected one, or at least we'd like it to be one in which the partners both know their status with respect to HIV or any other STD. So low condom use, high rates of STDs, and especially high rates of HIV in a city like New York, all suggest that this is occurring in a setting and in a situation where there's a lot of risk going on, and that risk may translate into more than just high rates of abortion. It may also translate into high rates of other kinds of conditions that cost the public money.
Sure. Dr. Jones, have you looked at that as well, the correlation between STD prevention and unintended pregnancies?
Yeah, admittedly, we haven't approached it from the perspective of STI or STD prevention. I mean, we are, of course, have done a lot of research looking at contraceptive use and, mm-hmm. and unintended pregnancy. And it is the case, since we're focusing on abortion specifically here, that most women obtaining abortions were using a contraceptive method when they became pregnant. Specifically, 54% of women were using contraception when they became pregnant, and they were most likely to have been using condoms. But the thing about as opposed to the pill or withdrawal or mm-hmm. IUDs or anything like that. And the thing being that people have problems using condoms, you know, every single time they have sex. So it's not just a matter of getting people to use condoms. It's a matter of getting them to use them effectively. And then again, I would mm-hmm. also, I know that especially in New York, HIV and STIs are always a concern. But really from the perspective of avoiding unintended pregnancies, it's really more important that women and that couples find a method that they can use consistently. And of course, it's always great if they can use, if it's condoms, that's great. If it's condoms along with the pill, the IUD, withdrawal, whatever, then that's an added protection.
Now, the 54%, when you say that most women who, 54%, how are you getting those numbers?
And this is based on a nationally representative survey we did of women obtaining abortions. Granted, we did this survey in 2000, but these types of statistics don't change too much. But and so we just asked women, were you using a contraceptive method when you became pregnant? And if so, what method were you using? And that's, again, we found that 54% of women obtaining abortions got pregnant while using a method.
And back to you again. What I found surprising in or fascinating in this research was that black women have had a 45% figure of having abortions in New York City. So there's some sort of disparity going on here with abortions.
Uh-huh.
Why is the rate so much higher for African American women? And is that actually, is that consistent with other minority groups?
Right. Well, this is, interestingly, my colleague Susan Cohn, we just released a piece that she did on this topic yesterday. And this is a trend that you see nationally. African American women have an abortion rate that's about five times that of white women. It's, you know, for other women of color, for Hispanic women, I think it's about twice as high as the abortion rate for white women. So it is more pronounced for African American women. And it's important. A lot of times people want to focus on the outcome of abortion, but it's important to put in the context of unintended pregnancy. Black women don't just have abortions, they also have more unintended births mm-hmm. and more unintended pregnancies. And again, you know, you have to back up. People don't get pregnant so they can have abortions. You have to back up and look at, well, what is their access to health care? What is their access to contraceptive services? And then, black women are less likely to be using contraception than women in other groups. They're less likely, if they are using, less likely to be using the more effective hormonal methods. And when they do use contraception, they're more likely to have contraceptive failures. So it's just kind of the cumulative effect of all these things mm-hmm. that results in these disparities.
I'm Alice Rehan for Brian Lehrer, and I'm speaking to Dr. Robert Fullilove, researcher and STD prevention expert at Columbia University, as well Dr. Rachel Jones, who's a research associate at the Guttmacher Institute, Reproductive Rights Organization. We're talking about abortion rates and the fact that the state's abortion ratio is three times more than the national average. And Dr. Fulilove, I want to segue back to you again on this. African-American women in New York City and this having 45% of the abortions. What is their access to health care? What's the disparity there, as well as STD prevention and access to contraception? What do you know about that?
Well, I think more than anything else, since we have been collecting these statistics, and this includes much of the 20th century, African Americans have had higher rates of sexually transmitted infections than any other racial ethnic group in the United States. Rates of gonorrhea amongst African Americans are 18 times what
18.
They are amongst 18 times what they are amongst whites. As a consequence, and this is always the difficulty when we try to look across what in public health we would describe as two separate disciplines, reproductive health mm-hmm. and sexually transmitted diseases, it's hard to put the two in context. But obviously, STIs occur in a situation where there's unprotected sex. So the fact that rates for gonorrhea, for syphilis, for chlamydia, for a variety of other conditions are dramatically, not just simply significantly, but dramatically higher amongst African Americans, makes it not surprising that you would also have a high rate of abortion. And again, it's because if we're looking at something that was not planned, if we're looking at an unprotected sexual act, the fact that you would have these kinds of rates and that they would be consistently higher than they are in the general population is pretty much what you'd expect.
So, Dr. Fulilove, just to get you to specify, why do you think the rates are, as you said, 18% higher? Is it an issue of access? Is it an issue of clinics and access to contraception?
Actually,
is it education?
They're not 18% higher. They're 18
times
as high.
Yeah. Correct.
In other words, the rate is dramatically and significantly higher. And this has been going on for years and years and years. Now, part of it is simply, and I think a significant amount of research from the Centers for Disease Control bears this out. It's very highly connected to poverty. New York City is a highly segregated city with respect to the have and have not differences. And it's not surprising that access to condoms is often very difficult in neighborhoods where people are poor mm-hmm. and where access to health care is often determined by whether or not you have health insurance. Blacks, I think it's fair to say, lead other racial ethnic groups in terms of their likelihood of not having insurance, so routine visits to the doctor are much less likely to occur mm-hmm. in this population than they are in others. Routine visits to the doctor, especially where the physician is conscious enough to say, let's ask about your sexual health, would often reveal a variety of different conditions and a lot of different behaviors that could be changed. They would lead quite naturally into the kind of family planning that my colleagues at the Guttmacher Institute have been talking about for so many years. But the fact that this kind of access is not available and the fact that a lot of STDs are treated in public health clinics is one way of describing how this lack of access and lack of the necessary resources to mm-hmm. assure good health dominate the health of these populations and are often translated into higher rates of sexually transmitted disease, higher rates of just about every mm-hmm. preventable health condition that you can imagine here in the United States.
We have a comment from on our website, someone saying, I wonder if some of these people are coming in from out-of-state areas where abortions may be more difficult to obtain, so-called tourism abortion. Dr. Jones, would you like to weigh in?
Right. Well, certainly there are people that come from out of state to access abortion services because they're cheaper, they're easier to find, they offer services, maybe later term services than what you can get in rural Pennsylvania. But if you look at the abortion rate by residence and occurrence, they're largely the same. So it's not actually the case that people coming in from out of state are substantially increasing the abortion rate in New York.
Now, if we look at the issue of Medicaid, and I think one point in that article also highlighted the fact that there is a cost to this state with these abortions. And in terms of the cost, unintended pregnancies and terminating unintended pregnancies definitely have a cost to taxpayers. actually to either of you, but Dr. Foley Love, if you want to weigh in. In terms of the cost, is this, and in terms of what it's actually costing taxpayers, I mean, there are people and anti-abortion activists who say that this should not, that this is a, not a good use of taxpayer money.
Not Dr. Foley Love? Well, not a good use of taxpayer money. I think that the issues that are raised when children are in households where their presence represents an enormous drain on those of the family translate into higher costs across the board, education, health care, and in some instances, when we're talking about poor families and we're talking about female-headed households, you're also going to see elevated rates of the kind of criminal behavior that ultimately results in incarceration, which costs the United States an enormous amount of money.
Sure.
Now, I want to be clear that these are very simplistic observations I'm making because we're looking at some very complex phenomena.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think the issue is, where do you want to frame the issue of the social costs of something like abortion? And where do you want to frame the issue of social costs of having large numbers of children mm-hmm. in families that don't have the capacity to care for them? There are costs associated with that, and I think that has to be included in this picture as well.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
if
go
I
ahead.
Could just follow up on that real quick, is, you know, if you're talking about women who already have an unintended pregnancy, it's definitely more cost-effective to pay for the abortion than it is to pay for prenatal and postnatal care and health insurance for the child. Certainly, those it would be better if we could prevent those pregnancies in the first place, and so if we mm-hmm. could better gear up. New York State ranks 25th. One of the Guttmacher studies, New York State ranks 25th in provision of family planning services, so there's certainly a lot of room for improvement in that area, and that in turn could reduce unintended pregnancies, including the need for Medicaid to pay for these. And I also just want to point out that most women who have abortions already have children. Mm-hmm. Most women who have abortions are poor, so these are women who are already struggling to make ends meet. Forcing them to have another child isn't going to make anyone's life any better, regardless of what the taxpayer costs are.
When you say most women are poor, what percentage are we looking at?
57%. Well, because we poor and low income. So poor, we have 27% of women obtaining abortions are poor.
In the state or in the country?
In the country.
In the country.
And then an additional 31% are near poor.
Well, thank you both for your comments this morning. I'm Alice Rehan for Brian Lehrer, and I've been speaking with Dr. Robert Foley Love, researcher at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health, and Dr. Rachel Jones, a research associate at the Guttmacher Institute. We'll be right back.